Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
The heavens felt like they opened up. God used the prophetic gifts to just really speak his desired heart for us. And it, in essence, said that victory had been authored and released in heaven, and that we were to celebrate and receive that victory here on earth. I think that's a great place for us to start in the receiving of the teaching of God's word. And so let everything that has a breath begin to praise the Lord. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And not just because you want to, but you get to. Let everything that has a breath in you take your outside voice and praise the Lord. I know you got you an inside voice, but sometimes you got to use your outside voice on the inside voice just to get the devil's attention that tells him, you may have backed me into a corner and left me with no way out, but what you did not bargain on is the God that I serve, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And I'm here today to tell you that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. Somebody ought to let their faith begin to move their praise, and let their praise begin to determine their faith, and let their faith determine their outcome. Devil, you got another thing coming if you have determined my outcome. Sometimes you kind of got to adjust the temperature. Now, I have to adjust the temperature here at church because my wife, in no uncertain terms, has told me I can't touch the thermostat at home. You feel me? Well, we're glad that you're here this morning. I want to take just a moment to welcome my dear friend Eddie Johnston and his wife, Julie. Julie is the director of the Pasadena Teen Challenge, and they are with us this morning. Would y'all just stand up and let us give you some love, and let us just celebrate all of the ladies and all of the directors that are here from Teen Challenge this morning. Ladies, we are looking at you. We are waiting for you to take your place. Go ahead, Miss Portlavaca, stand to your feet. We want to see who you is. There we are. Now we got them on their feet. It's good to have you this morning. We look so forward to being a part of a banquet that on Thursday night will be for the purpose of continuing to advance their life mission as God has called them to. Eddie and I knew each other in 1985 B.C. 1985 B.C. Now, some of you are chuckling, thinking that was before Christ. And you would be wrong. It would stand for Bible College. Sometimes that's one and the same, but Bible College. Well, if you're here this morning, and you are, let me take just a moment to tell you where we've been. We've just finished a series on the subject matter of issues. In that series, we recognize that we all have issues. Some of us have sin issues. Some of us have anger issues. Still others have issues of loss, issues of control, and what we discussed 2 weeks ago, family issues. Now, next week, I hope to begin our new series entitled Unbroken. Here's some coming attractions. Unbroken is a series about the crucial role that commitment plays in our everyday lives. In this series, I plan to challenge us to commit to things like marriage. I see the attendance is dwindling as we announce our new series. In this series, I plan to challenge us to be people of commitment, strong commitment, people that commit to things like marriage. Don't make me do the rewind. In this series, I plan to challenge us to commit to things like marriage. Patience. Forgiveness. Telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. And committing to something that Christ committed to us over 2,000 years ago on a cross. I'm going to challenge you to commit to loving each other with an unconditional love. I plan to encourage you in this series to get rooted, to get grounded, to get built up in him, so that you can begin to break the cycles and the strongholds that have been breaking us. In this morning's message, I plan to use this like a hyphen or a dash. In other words, today's message is like the cream filling in an Oreo cookie, as it's designed to take the two series, the two cookies, and bring them all together. Can you shout double stuff? Now, how many of you in the room enjoy a good Oreo with a raised hand? How many of you crumble your Oreo up and put it in your milk? Or you're like me, you drink a Diet Coke so you'll offset the calories. Now, still others eat their Oreos by doing what? How many of you go for the cream filling right off the bat? All right. So we understand why we are going to bring back our series called iFit. Turn to me right now. I'm rusty. I've been gone for a week. Last week, I really missed you because I didn't have an Xbox in my hands. Instead of going away to celebrate our 31st anniversary, I had a cardboard box in my hands. We decided after 31 years of marriage, it might be time for an upgrade in our bedroom. So instead of going away, we decided we'll just make over our bedroom. As we were looking around the room, we realized, wow, we bought that furniture together before we got married over 31 years ago, and that end table was in my college dorm room, and it shouldn't have been there then. Any of you ever wake up one day and realize your furniture's older than you and none of it matches? Well, that was my week last week, and so we began musical chairs as a staff as last week my wife and I took off the weekend. This weekend, our executive pastor, Pastor Clint and Casey, have taken the weekend off. But we're thrilled to be with you today. As now that you've turned to me, I'm going to encourage us to turn in God's Word to Galatians chapter 6. For those of you that are studying to go into the ministry, I just demonstrated an awkward introduction. So Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says it like this. It says, "Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, for God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, anoint this time together. Anoint this to be a time in which your word speaks and our ears listen, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, let each of us put on our spiritual ear and yearn for what you have to say, so that our faith might come forth and be victorious, so that this might indeed be a day filled with your power, your strength, and your possibilities. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord, and together everyone said, Amen. So as we conclude reading Galatians chapter 6, I want us to recognize that each and every one of us this morning are enjoying some kind of harvest. Each of us are currently reaping something that we've been sowing. Now, there's some good news to that, and there's some bad news to that. There is this principle of sowing and reaping. The bad news is that too often, even though we're Christian people, we're guilty of not sowing the right seed. And we have to always remind ourselves that our harvest is determined by our seed. Your life is a seed. Your day is a seed. The choices that you determine that are going to determine your day, those determine your harvest. And so our harvest is determined by our seed. Now, to make matters worse, we often use our faith to practice the definition of insanity. And the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again, and the whole time expect what? A different result. Now, can I tell you, that takes a lot of faith to keep practicing the wrong thing over and over again, and yet continue to believe God and expect the right thing to come to pass. As a result, I have found many believers practicing the wrong thing, and as a result, they continue to arrive with their heart filled with the wrong things. And therefore, a lot of God's people stay worn out, frustrated, angry, hopeless, overwhelmed, discouraged, and depressed. That's the bad news about sowing and reaping. But here's some good news. The good news is that God is committed to renewing our strength. He's committed to restoring our hope. He's committed to breaking the cycles in our life that are breaking us, and he's committed to blessing our lives with this harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I've noticed that many times when you and I are not happy with the results of our labor, we resort to making New Year's resolutions. Many of us in this room have already broken those New Year's resolutions. One of mine was this year I was going to lose 15 pounds. I am happy to report this morning that after making that resolution to lose 15 pounds, I only have 22 more pounds to go. Would you put your hands together and celebrate the progress of my resolution? We make these resolutions with a hope, and that hope is to break the bad habits in our life. But all too often, it ends up breaking bad. Why is that? I think it's important for us to answer that, and here's one of the reasons I believe it doesn't work well for us. I believe that resolutions without routines are like BMWs without fuel. They're very cool to look at, but they won't get you anywhere. Resolve. We all have a little bit of it, but resolve can't change what your routines have created. Because determination alone cannot change a condition that decisions have created. Try as you might, you can't believe your way out of a problem that you created by the patterns of your behavior. I want to say that again because that's going to be the foundation this morning of our sermon title. The title is, "The Problem is the Pattern." The problem in our life is the pattern. Because try as you might, you can't believe your way out of problems that were created and continue to be reinforced by your patterns of behavior. So this morning, I want to talk about the problem being your pattern, the problem being our pattern, our routine. I want to start by talking a little bit about our dysfunction. And no better place to start talking about dysfunction than to stop at Webster's Dictionary. Webster says that a dysfunction is the condition of having poor and unhealthy behaviors and attitudes within a group of people. He goes on to describe a dysfunctional family. See if this describes any family that you know. He says a dysfunctional family is a family in which conflict, misbehavior, and often child neglect or abuse on the part of individual parents occur continually and regularly, leading other members to accommodate such actions. Children sometimes grow up in such families with the understanding that such an arrangement of dysfunction is normal. I think it's important for us to look and find what God's Word says. So I want to read from Dr. Paul and not Dr. Phil. Dr. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brother and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern. Do not conform to the dysfunctional pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will." So as we think about what Dr. Paul writes and wrote, we have to think in terms of the fact that the problem might not be all just an issue in our life, as much as it might be a problem with you and I living out a pattern and a routine that continues to set us up to fall real short in our life. You see, it's our pattern, it's our routine that determines our product and our results. In other words, it's your root that determines your fruit. Too often we come to church and we come very aware of the fruit in our life. We become very aware of the things on the surface, not realizing that when we come, God may want to get just deeper than the things we're praying about on the surface. He might want to get to the root of the issue, the root of the matter. Sometimes, friend, we look everywhere else except at ourselves. I'll never forget one time when I woke up and I realized that there was one common denominator in all of my problems. I thought about the problem I was having with my mom. I thought about the problem I was having with my dad. I thought about the problem I was having with my sisters. I thought about the problem I was having with one of my instructors in college. I thought about all my problems, and I realized that day one thing that might help you just like it helped me. There was one common denominator. What was that one common denominator? Oh, it wasn't me. It was everybody else. No, it was me. I think from time to time it's healthy for us to look in the Holy Spirit mirror and see beyond those things on the surface, see beyond the things that are the fruit that we're always trying to change, and go before God and say, Lord, is it me? Am I the common denominator? Is there something at the root of my heart? Is there something in my routines? Is there something in my daily pattern that I live out that sets me up to fail, or it sets me up to be disappointed? On Wednesday night, I brought this to the church's attention, and it's these two words, expectation here and reality here. We all have expectations. We all have a reality. And many, many times, our expectation and our reality are not on the same page. Our expectations are here, and they're way up here. But our reality is here. It creates a gap. It creates a space. And it's how we deal with that gap. It's how we deal with that space that determines whether or not we'll ever overcome our frustrations. You see, some of us, even this morning, have set ourselves up to fail. We've set ourselves up to be disappointed because we have an expectation that's here, but a reality that's here. And so this morning, the Lord wants to speak to each of us clearly, and He wants us to see how He too has some expectation in our life, but how He works with our reality. In John chapter 15, I want you to join me there because it's here that Christ begins to talk not just about His expectation, but about the reality. We must keep in mind as we go here that as believers, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is the holy and socially acceptable pattern to God. Don't ever kid yourself. Whatever is said in a local church, whatever is preached in a local church, no man can change what God has already said. God has already said in His Word that you and I are to be living sacrifices, that we are to be holy unto the Lord, for He is holy. Anything less than that, anything that causes us to deviate from that, causes a spiritual dysfunction. Now listen to how Christ describes it in John chapter 15. Here the Son of God is talking, and He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. One of the things as your pastor that I believe we must commit ourselves to is learning to commit and respect doing the right thing. And doing the right thing over and over and over again. We have a country that has lost its way socially, lost its way morally, lost its way spiritually. We live in a day and time that no longer do people fear the Lord. No longer do people believe that there's such thing as right and wrong, light and darkness. We live in a society that tells us that we have been freed from all of that religion. We have been freed from all that legalism. That we should be able to determine what's right in our lives. That there should be no repercussions or consequences for our lack of reverence and respect. How many of you noticed this week a comedian that decided to take matters into her own hands? And how in a very ugly, mean-spirited way, through humor, mind you, she determined that it was okay to threaten the life of the president. Only then to be called out even by the liberal media. Only then to be held to the consequences of her behavior. Only to turn around in 3 days and say, how uncaring of everyone else. How cruel could everyone else be to hold me responsible for my consequences? Though I messed up and I missed it and I went too far, now I'm the victim. Are you breathing? I will use my pulpit to tell you it's not just that individual lady. It's not just that liberal idea from that one person. We live in an environment, a culture, and a society that calls right wrong and wrong right. But I am here to tell you today, as believers, God's word has never changed. God's character is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as believers, we must continue to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, for that is holy and socially acceptable unto the Lord. We must learn to respect and commit to doing the right thing over and over and over again. I'm almost finished, but something in me just wants to unpack that a little bit more. You see, I grew up in a day and time that the right thing then is still the right thing now. I grew up in a day and time that when I went to the public school as a young child, I was introduced to my teacher on the way in, and I introduced her to my morals and to my manners. I said things like, "Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. Where would you like me to sit, ma'am?" And if the teacher told me to go and sit quietly, guess what I did? I said, "Yes, ma'am." You see, my parents taught me to respect authority, to commit myself to the right thing, that if you do the right thing long enough, you'll have the right result. I remember sitting quietly at my desk, and I remember why I sat quietly, because my teachers more often than not would tell me, in just a few moments we will start class with the Pledge of Allegiance and a word of prayer. Amen. Well, I must be preaching in the wrong church today. And I remember standing to my feet, and I remember putting my hand over my heart. I remember the red stripe and what it meant to our family, because we had two uncles that gave their life on a foreign battlefield so those that were trying to destroy America wouldn't fight the battle here. So when I stood there and said, "I pledge allegiance to the United States of America," it meant something to me. In that moment, I respected the right thing. In that moment, I committed to the right thing. Can I tell you, it's time for the church, the local church, to get in the house of God and commit ourselves to doing more than just coming to church on Sunday, but becoming the church on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and living our life out in such a way that we raise our heart and our hand to a holy God in heaven, and we respect Him for who He is and what He's asked of us, and we say to Him, "Here I am, God. Send me." I remember my teachers more often than not praying over us as a class. And I can remember them coming to my desk during the day and saying, "Greg, is there anything that I can help you with?" And I can remember telling them, "Yeah, I don't feel good." I never would tell them why I didn't feel good. But the truth was, I didn't feel good because I was about to take a test I hadn't studied for. And I can remember teachers praying for me right there at the desk. Now, what am I wanting you to hear? I'm not necessarily trying to take matters into my own hand and write the social media. What I am trying to tell you is that there is a spiritual God who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who is the Alpha and who is the Omega, and is holding everything in between together. And He had His Son say, "Remain in Me. Remain in Me, abide in Me," because here's the truth. You can't arrive unless you first abide. You can't reach unless you first remain. You'll never experience His fruit until He is your root. That's why you and I, in this time and season, when darkness has really come upon the United States of America, we got to get rooted. We got to get grounded. We got to get planted in our faith. We got to walk in the Spirit. We got to keep in step with the Spirit. And we got to let the light of Jesus Christ shine, because He's not just our answer. He is this nation's answer, and He has set our nation up for the greatest revival a local church could ever experience. And it's not going to come necessarily from a pulpit on a Sunday morning. It's going to come from you on a Monday morning and a Tuesday morning and a Wednesday morning, because each and every one of you are missionaries. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. What matters is everywhere you go, when you get there, you're a missionary, and you've been sent by God to change their world. Everywhere you go, when you get there, you're a missionary. In Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22, we visit one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. It says in Matthew 14 and 22 that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "If it's you," Peter replied, "then tell me. Tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat. We see here that Peter stepped out. Peter stepped out and he walked on the water and he came toward Jesus. So not only did he step out, but he stood out. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out and he said, "Lord, save me." See, here's the thing. He sank. Many, many people are willing to step out and for a season stand out. But here we see that Peter couldn't stick it out. But immediately, Scripture says, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" There's some important things that we learn here. First of all, we learn here that Peter had both the faith to step out and the faith to stand out, but that wasn't enough. The faith to step out and the faith to stand out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. Now we're getting to the cream filling. Now you understand why we can't just preach a series on issues. We can't just help each and every one of us recognize there are some issues in our life that are paralyzing us and plaguing us. We've got to, as a church family, come together around God's word and recognize that it's not enough to just recognize the problem and see that we have an issue. We have to recognize that we must take a new position. We must take a new perspective into a new season. And we must get rooted and we must get grounded. We must get built up in God. Not just so that we can step out, not just so that we can stand out, but so that through faithfulness, we can stick it out. That's what we learn here from Simon Peter. I mean, think about it. We all know a lot of people who are always stepping out. They're always stepping out in faith, and yet they're never receiving the blessings of faith. Now, why is that? I believe it's because many, many people step out before having something to stand on. When you get rooted, when you get grounded, when you get built up in God, it means that you've gotten rooted and grounded and built up in His Word. So whenever you step out, you have His Word to stand on. Jesus is trying to get His disciples to see here that there's a pattern. There's a pattern that will cause you to be more than a conqueror. It will cause you to be victorious. It will break cycles. It will break these things that have been breaking you. He wants His disciples to see that there's a pattern. That first of all, there's pain that comes with the storms of life. It's not if they're coming, it's just when they come. Secondly, He's saying there's not just pain that comes with the storm, but there's pain that comes with stepping out. And not only just in stepping out, but there's also pain that comes with standing out. That's why you and I have to recognize that it's when we stick it out that we fulfill the purpose of our pain. I think each of us can sit here this morning and we can look back in our lives and we can see a storm. That storm has a name. That storm even has a place on our calendar. That storm blew into our life and we're still suffering the side effects of that storm. We're still trying to resolve that storm in our heart. What may have paralyzed your faith may not be the same thing that paralyzed the persons next to your faith. But the thing is, we all have storms in common. And what God is trying to do is get us unstuck. He's trying to give us that moment in the boat of faith that we step out. That not only do we step out, but we stand out. And not only do we stand out, but we finally stick it out. And we get out of this storm once and for all? What if you woke up this morning and the thing that woke you up this morning that keeps breaking you down, what if you woke up this morning and you started this morning and tomorrow morning and the next morning without that thing in your life and you never saw it again? Jesus is saying that happens when you stick it out. When you stick it out, that's when I fulfill my purpose, because I fulfill my purpose in your pain. Romans says it like this in chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. See, there's grace to stand on. Anytime that God asks you to take a step, to step out, to take a stand, to stand out, anytime God says that it's time for you just to stick it out, you know how we do when a storm comes. We bind it in Jesus' name. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. If that doesn't work, we blame it on someone. We blame it on something. And we find that we just kind of begin to struggle on the inside because the storm won't go away. And what the Lord is trying to say to each of us this morning is that there's not a way around this storm, but there's going to be a way through this storm. That my word of grace is there for you to step out, to stand out, and to stick it out. And if you'll stick it out, you will find the hope to stand. And Paul finishes by saying, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, when you can't figure it out, God is wanting you to stick it out. When you can't figure it out, God is wanting you to stick it out. I close this morning from James chapter 1, where he writes and says, consider it my pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God has this pattern of God's is to find you in the middle of your storm, to speak to the storm on the inside of you, to still the storm around you, and to give you the grace to stick it out. He's going to use that storm to teach you perseverance. And that perseverance, it's going to be used by God to finish you, to mature you, to bring you to a place that you lack nothing. I'm ready to move into that place of lacking nothing. I'm ready not just to get out of the boat. I've got that part mastered. I've even taken a few steps. I've even stood out. I'm ready to see what God could do in a local church who would just stick it out. I think God is asking us a question. I see what you've done on a couple of acres, but you own about 29 more acres. What are you going to do on the rest of the 29 acres? And more importantly, what are you going to let me do on the rest of this acreage? Whose lives will be forever changed because you had the willingness and my grace to stick it out? I leave you this morning with a story that might sound like many of yours. You ever go to church, a revival, or a conference discouraged? Please raise your hand. So for the three of us that have gone to a conference and been slightly discouraged and really needed something from God, we'll have our own little spiritual kumbaya moment. And at the end, we'll all gather in the altar, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya, My Lord. Go ahead. How many of you this morning would say that there's been some times in your life your expectation was in a different place than your reality? And as a result, you heard things in your ear that sounded like this. I thought you'd be further along than this. I thought you'd have more than this. How could you have done this to yourself? What's wrong with you? Ask that question in one breath and that same voice tell you what's wrong with you, as if you didn't already know. I arrived at a conference. I chose this conference because it was in Houston, and that's all the energy I had was to drive about 30 miles to get to it. I chose it, A, because it was close, and I chose it, B, because I didn't know anybody there. It wasn't even a part of our fellowship. But I knew Or at least I had heard the speaker that was going to be there. I'd heard him before, and I knew he was a powerful preacher, and this is what else I knew about him. I knew that he moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I knew that he might just pray for me. Any of you ever try to help the Lord out a little bit? Driven more than 30 miles just so you'd be positioned right where God would know where to find you? I did that. So I got there, I arrived there, got me a cup of coffee. And I don't do crowds very well, so I got me a cup of coffee to hide behind and feel safe behind my coffee because I didn't know anybody, but I just kind of felt like I stood out. I just felt like my weariness and my discouragement. It just feels like I wore it like a cheap suit. And so there I was minding my own business, and the service started, and I could hear the music. So I went, and I sat somewhere that the speaker could see me, but no one else would know that I was there. And I sat there, and every time he looked over at me, I was like... Every time he looked my direction, I stood a little straighter. The altar call was given. I went to the front. Being a minister, I kind of knew where to stand. And so as I was standing there, I was doing all my spiritual aerobics I knew that would possibly move him towards me. All the while with one eye open. He started to come in my direction. I was so excited. Finally, I was going to get a word from God. And he had the audacity to walk past me and pray for the lady beside me. And I'm like, I saw that lady during church. She may not even be making it to heaven. Why did she get a word and I didn't? And then he had the audacity to walk off. Before the night was over, he prayed for, I think, everybody in that whole line, that whole place, but me. Like you, I too have some flesh. And I'd been using it to sow to my flesh. My flesh so needed some reassurance. My flesh so needed some comfort. I'd taken a step. I stood out. But things didn't go the way that I thought they would. I had an expectation that far surpassed my reality. And so the service ended, and he went out the side door and never to probably return to that hotel again. And I found myself just limping, feeling sorry for myself. I drug my flesh to the car. And as I was about to get in my car, I suddenly realized, oh, wait, that's not my car. It looks a lot like my car, but it won't unlock. And while I was standing there trying to get somebody else's car unlocked, an older lady came out and she said, "Sir, are you trying to steal my car?" I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. Is this your car?" And she said, "Yes, sir, it is." I said, "No, I actually thought this was my car. I'm sorry. Mine must be somewhere else." It was about three cars away, but at that point, it didn't matter. I was so embarrassed. And so as I was trying to get in my car and just have a good cry, the lady stopped me and she said, "Sir, you sure look tired. You sure look discouraged. Are you?" And I looked at her and thought, "Don't judge me." How many of you know the flesh is bad, is ugly, it's whiny, but it's the flesh. I had sown a lot of it and now I was reaping it. But it didn't mean I wasn't practicing the definition of insanity. I was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. See, I'd gone there to be reassured. I'd gone there to be noticed by the speaker and by God. And it didn't seem like anybody noticed if I was there or not, especially God. As I was trying to get away from her, she was an older grandmother lady. She looked at me and she said, "I don't really know who you are, but you remind me of my grandson." I said, "Oh, thank you. He must be really handsome." No, I didn't say that part. But I said, well, thank you. Sorry about the car thing. And I started to walk away when she said, "I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. I just want to pray for you." She laid her hands on me, and I don't remember anything she prayed as much as I remember what I experienced. There in the hotel parking lot, I began to feel the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that had given me the grace to step out. The Spirit of God that had given me the grace to stand out. Now met me in the parking lot, and the Spirit of God was giving me the grace to stick it out. I remember in that moment the power of God coming on me so strong, I thought to myself, you better get a hold of yourself. You're about to be slain in the spirit right here, and there's no catchers. And that grandma, at that point, she had put her hand on my forehead, and I could just hear enough to know that she prayed a lot like my mama prayed. And suddenly I felt the familiarity of my mother's heart. And in the middle of all that, I felt the power of God's heart. I remember everything that was bottled up in me suddenly just came out, and I began to weep uncontrollably. I remember kind of gracefully just kind of kneeling next to the car and just wailing uncontrollably. I remember that moment because that moment was personal. That moment was powerful. That moment, the Holy Spirit of God that seemed to be hovering somewhere else had actually all the while been hovering over me in my storm. The Holy Spirit, so filled with the power of God, began to just release that power into my heart. It gave me the power not to grow weary in doing good, but to stand up on my feet of faith and continue to walk by faith, to continue to walk through the storm instead of trying to find a way to get away from the storm. God had something in the storm for me. And this morning, God has something in your storm for you. God knows where you are. And maybe you came this morning and you thought, I know Dominion is a highly prophetic church. And judging by first service, when there was no preaching, and there was just worship, and there was just prayer time and altar ministry, this is my day to get a word. This is my day. Pastor Greg's probably going to come call me by name, call out my unexpired credit card number, and I'm going to buy him some new golf clubs with it or something like that. And this is going to be the day when God does something in me and for me. And I'll know it's for me because Pastor Greg will single me out. Can I tell you this morning, I have not been led by God to single anybody out, but I've been led by God to tell you, He has searched each of us out, and He knows exactly what we need and where we are. He knows that after having done all to stand, we're not sure that we can stand out any longer. After having done all we could with our faith to step out, we're not sure if we can take another step. The Lord God of heaven Himself on this Pentecost Sunday has come to minister individually because He has searched out every heart in this room this morning. And so I'm not going to ask the old school way of asking you to bow your head and closing your eyes and me counting to three. But I'm going to ask this morning, just by the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit, if you're here this morning and you need His powerful strength to continue, I just want you to stand to your feet right where you are. I believe there's a number of people that are just hurting, a number of people that are just weary, a number of people that don't know that they even have the strength to keep standing, and they need God to visit them in the middle of their storm. Heavenly Father, You know every heart that's standing, and God, You even know the ones that aren't. But now, God, we just begin to pray in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. God, we just release Your heavenly strength to every person in this room this morning. God, do a miracle. God, the fact that they would be even willing to stand and everybody look at them and everybody have their eyes on them says that they are so hungry and so desperate for Your strength, so dependent on Your strength, that they've taken a courageous act to stand up. Now, God, strengthen every heart that's standing. Strengthen every person that's taken a step of faith. God, do a miracle in their heart right now. Do a miracle in their life. God, Your people are weary. It's hard for them to keep doing good when they're weary. So strengthen them. Morning. I just have felt there is just a shift change in our house, and I think that worship in this next season is going to continue to play a great role in it. I know you've been faithful to be here. I'm going to release you, and I'm going to pray for them. But I want to release you in the name that's above all names. I just bless our Pasadena Teen Challenge for being here today. We'll see many of you Thursday night. God bless you. We'll see you soon. How can I pray?
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.